And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering, well, you know the spiel. So what this is the part two of our 100th episode. Our 100th episode was just so long. It was like a bajillion hundred hours for a 100th episode. So we just had to cut it down. Our actual server would not upload the episode because it just had so much awesome packed into it. And the server would have just been like, oh my god, everything's so awesome. And we were like, yeah, we know. And so we had to split it up. And so this is part two of our 100th episode. So please, everyone, enjoy the rest of it.
And here it is, the rest of it.
So, hello, everyone. Right now, we have one of our most commentiest listeners, Mr. Patrick Gilmore.
He's totally cool, man.
Don't be mean, guys. Come on.
We're not being mean.
You're making jokes about how my voice sounds. It's not cool. It took me hours to put this call together.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Oh, Chris is right. You do have a good podcast voice when
I told
Chris isn't squeaking.
I told you I was totally off base on the voice. I'm trying to remember why I started doing that.
I don't remember.
It was because of my Mortis comments. We're super... Or no, it wasn't the Mortis comments. It was what I was talking about. Last Jedi? Some theory about R2-D2 and how Rey could ride inside of his chest cavity. It goes way back to Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, yeah, and Chris was just like, oh, he's the... So I have to ask, you liked Mortis, right?
I did, and here's why, and I didn't get into this in my comments, is because I grew up, like, really Catholic, and I saw both the re-release of Episode 4 and Star Trek First Contact with my pastor and my dad. I was not alone with my pastor. And it was... So the religious part of the whole thing was a big deal for me as a kid. And the Mortis thing is like the most religious, you know, the Force as a religious thing at arc on the show. And so even as a 30-something, that really connected with me.
I get that. Like, I have a lot of friends who are like really religious that respond to the Superman story. So I do get that because, you know, they argue that Superman is kind of like a Jesus story in a way.
My friend Mike Poteet is who was on the show way back in the early days. We haven't been able to get him on. He's a big Star Trek fan and a big Star Wars fan. And he's always... He has a column on a website where he always writes, you know, articles about Star Wars and Star Trek stories in a religious context. Using them as an example of a religious idea. I don't think he's Catholic. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, I don't see it as much in Star Trek, but
yeah.
It's definitely there in Star Wars.
Well, I'm sorry that we hated Mortis.
It's okay.
I'm not sorry.
Well, I'll be sorry for the two of us.
The last arc of Clone Wars did that, took that idea and did a much better job with it anyway. So.
I have to agree. I know Chris isn't there yet. He doesn't really know anything about it, but I do agree. The last arc of Clone Wars really handles that kind of balance of the spirituality of the Force so much better.
Well, I'm looking forward to that then.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get a lot more of that coming up in like Last Jedi and in Rebels, actually.
I was telling Chris beforehand, the episode of Rebels this week really kind of touched on a little bit more of a spiritual aspect. Yeah, have you been watching Rebels?
I had been buying it on Amazon, and then I broke my foot, and I don't know how much that's going to cost me, so I'm on a Rebels pause, but I watched the first four.
Oh, what happened to your foot?
It's a dumb story. I fell walking down a hill in the rain and fractured the fifth metatarsal.
Tell people you fought a bear. That's so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I did when I tore a muscle in my knee picking up a box at work. Everybody was like, oh my god, what happened? I was just like, I fought a bear. Never told anybody the actual story.
Yeah, I'm 6 weeks out of work because of this stupid thing.
Yeah. But they introduced, well, it was in the, if you saw the trailers, they're in the trailers. They introduced these characters called the Loth Wolves, and they're wolves that live on Lothal. And there's definitely like a big spiritual element about them and stuff too. So,
they do that wolfy thing of just sort of like appearing on the top crest of a hill, backlit by the moonlight. And then when you turn back around, when you go, holy cow, there's a wolf. And then someone says something, and you turn around, and then you look, and they're gone. They're gone.
There's a wolf in the Last Jedi trailer, too, isn't there?
Yep. Those are weird, like, crystal fox wolf things, too.
And Dave Filoni finally has his wolves. Like, he wanted to have, like, wolf mounts in Clone Wars with an arc where Ahsoka and Rex were riding on wolves, but he never got a chance to make it.
Hmm.
So he's finally gets to do his wolf mounts.
Nice.
You gotta do 10 seasons of a or so of a Star Wars show before they give you your wolves.
Yeah, he started.
You gotta earn your wolves.
You gotta earn those wolves. So I'm gonna ask you something I've asked everybody else. What is your favorite part of the show? And that means both Clone Wars and our show.
My favorite part of Clone Wars, the TV show, is that it made the prequels better.
Yeah.
Like, amen.
Like, especially episode 2, I went forever thinking was a completely throwaway movie, but the Clone Wars TV show fixed it, and it took me a long time to get into it. It was actually seeing that there was a show talking about it on the Two True Freaks Network, and I was like, oh, I should watch this show, and I didn't watch along with you guys. I sped through it, and luckily I had a roommate at the time that was into wanting to watch the show, and so that was fun. It was sort of social, but yeah, I don't have a whole ton of, like, in real life people to talk to about Star Wars with. So, yeah, the two of you are kind of it for me and Clone Wars. It's something that I enjoyed, and then I get to listen to the both of you talk about it, and sometimes I will go back and rewatch it if I remember liking the episode. And, yeah, so what I like about your show is that it helps, you know, connect me with people who are also Star Wars fans.
Aww. We're like friend matchmakers.
That's kind of what Two True Freaks is.
Yeah, forget the other shows. Ours is the best. I'm biased.
We'll really get dangerous when we truly start linking up all these nerds into a true network. My Illuminati plans are coming along fairly well. All I need is a rich benefactor.
I think that's what everybody needs.
Who's optimally also a scientist / inventor would be good too.
Everybody needs a rich benefactor. Like I need to either win the lottery or get a sugar daddy, one or the other.
Do you play the lottery?
On occasion.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, you got to play the lottery.
Well, yeah, I do.
You got to start going to gala balls if you want to meet some Bruce Waynes, though.
Yeah, I mean, I use the Hope Scholarship to go through college, and the lottery pays for the Hope Scholarship. So, like, in a way, it kind of feels like I'm giving back.
No, that's the scholarship.
Winning money.
No, that's the scholarship they only give to people named Hope.
No, no. My teacher actually always used to know when I wasn't paying attention in class because he'll be talking about the Hope Scholarship, and I would just look up and just go, yeah. Yeah, he'd be like, ah, gotcha. And I was like, yeah, you did. What were you talking about? So, well, do you have any burning questions for us?
Do I have any burning questions for you? Oh, I've been in such a weird headspace ever since my foot broke.
You got good medications?
You know, I did.
You can always send all extras to Chris Honeywell, care of Two True Freaks.
Well, thankfully, I have a roommate that's between jobs right now. So that first, it took a week for me to get to see an orthopedist to tell work that I couldn't work. And so I was hobbling around on crutches and stuff, and I had a roommate to, like, bring me food. But now I'm just in a boot, so can't work, but I can go places and don't need crutches.
Hey, you said that your roommate watched Clone Wars with you. Does he listen to the show too?
I've played snippets of it for him. This is my previous roommate. Yeah, I've played chunks of the show for friends of mine and stuff. I had one friend who I got into Two True Freaks. I don't know if he still listens or not because we're out of touch. Because I don't want to say why in case he still listens.
Just say hi.
Yeah. Hey, Dick.
You're friends with Dick Grayson? Awesome.
No.
Is his name even Dick?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It really is?
Yeah.
Hi, yeah, he Dick. Wasn't I being mean. He was actually using his proper name.
Oh, my God. Name. Cool.
If I had to re-choose names, Dick is high on the list.
It's kind of tough to if people don't listen to podcasts to begin with.
Right.
It's
yes.
kind of hard to get them interested in a podcast.
It appeals to a certain kind of person, and it also especially people who talk about a 20-minute cartoon for. An hour and a half for four times longer than the cartoon is. It appeals to a certain amount of people. And I mean, there's people who listen to, like an NPR podcast, but a Two True Freaks podcast is definitely in a different world.
I listen at work, so if I see that you have an episode that's 2 hours long, I'm like, yes!
Yes, you see, that's been a common theme since the very beginning. Anybody gets bonus points for listening at work, for getting paid, while at the same time listening to Two True Freaks. That's always a big bonus to us. And plus, I always get, the satisfaction when we're talking about something and just have people cracking up while they're at work and they can't really tell anybody what's going on, because even if they did, you'd have to explain 40 issues of a comic book for them to get the joke. I like that.
We should start a kudos system. Every time you get a friend to start listening to the show, you get one kudos. And at the end of the year, whoever has the most kudos, Dario sends the candy to them.
Ooh. Or just have Dario make up a mystery package would be the best. Dario is very capable of making mystery packages.
Or
I could make
a
hell of a mystery package, too.
Or some kind of point system. You get a point for commenting on the episode. You get 5 points for an iTunes review. If you get a friend to listen, that's 10 points.
I have to use it to help clear out my house, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I'm going to my Star Wars closet and start pulling stuff out.
If you retweet the episode or something like that, you get an extra point or something. So
you have a little, I don't know, what would you call it, a project or whatever, but you do a lot of vocal reading of written material.
Yes. So I have a YouTube channel where I read mostly kids books. I actually, this week, since I'm on my ass, decided to give Arthur Rex a try, but it's by Thomas Berger, but it's so sexual that I thought somebody would find it and be like, everything else is for kids, and this is, like, suspiciously sexy. So I had, like, 5 videos of that. And
I haven't read that yet. I love Thomas Berger. He's one of my favorite authors.
So good.
All time. I started out as a kid. Remember they made the movie Neighbors with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd? Mm-hmm. And it was based on a book of his.
Hmm.
So I thought I was picking up the movie novelization, and it was actually a Thomas Berger book that they'd adapted into the movie. So it was a bit different. It was a lot more crazy, and it was wonderful. And then I got my hands on Little Big Man. And what was the other one that was great? The Feud. He has a really good one called The Feud. And I picked up the sequel. He's written a sequel to Little Big Man, which I don't know how that could be bad.
Yeah, we used to have the sequel laying around the house. I've only read Arthur Rex and seen the movie of Little Big Man, though.
The movie is a pretty straightforward. There's more in the book, but the movie really, it's pretty much. Neighbors wasn't bad, but of all the, like, they made a movie movie adaptation of The Feud too, but I think Little Big Man was the only thing I've seen that really captured his style, you know, his way of dealing with characters. I'll never forget the scene at the end where his Indian father, his Native American father, you know, decides that it's time, you know, that it's time for him to die.
It climbs up on that.
It makes him walk all the way up this hill to the dying place, and it's just gives him a big dramatic speech, and he lays down and, all right, time to die now, and the rain starts falling. He sees his eyes starting to squint when the rain hits it, and he's like, I don't know, I'm not dying. Guess it must not be my time to die. Let's go back down the hill.
Isn't the end of the initial speech, though, like, and don't get with the Shoshone women?
Yeah, so they're awful buffalo women. Yeah, that's basically, he's like the Indian chief, and he plays that whole thing of, like, they're always full of wisdom and stuff, and all this guy ever does is complain about his wives. See her over there? She's an angry woman. Don't know why I stay with her. She's so angry.
Hey, Patrick, what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Kent Kentley.
Did you say Tent or Kent?
Kent as in Clark Kent. Kentley.
Okay. Kent Tentley?
Yeah.
Is that Kent L-E-Y or Kent. L-Y?
Just L-Y.
Can you say L-Y. It one more time?
Kent, like Clark Kent, and then Kentley, like Clark Kentley.
Oh, I thought you said Kent Tentley, like Kent, like Clark Kent, and then Tent, like I'm sleeping in a tent.
That's what I thought, too, and I was thinking, like, Tentley T.
Yeah. I'm very popular with the I didn't do my homework today kids who will write in and be like, thanks for reading Summer of the Monkeys. I didn't read the book.
That's when you need to just mess them up and, like, read the wrong thing. You could destroy so many lives, Patrick. So
oh, man.
Many
yep. That would be so awesome. Destroy. Today I'm reading The Complete Marquis de Sade.
Well, that's kind of what Arthur Rex was like. I'd forgotten just how explicit it was. I was going to read that and A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. Like,
you're safer with that, yeah.
I know. I'm sticking with Connecticut Yankee.
I found a little while ago there's a YouTube channel with people who read whole movie novelizations.
Ooh.
I'll since we are Facebook friends, I will send you I'll send you a link to that. There okay. They have some amazing it varies. There's all different people doing it, and some people take it more seriously than others, and some people do a bit, you know. Some people, you really get the feeling that they've just sort of cracked the book for the first time without much thought to it and are just like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And you can hear them like going like, oh, I should have maybe gone to the bathroom first. Or
yeah.
But there's some people who are really good and really nail it.
I did Edgar Allan Poe's The Mystery of Marie Roget, to tie in with another guy I know who was doing a Sherlock Holmes book. And it is not a good record at all. Because it was just my first time ever reading it. And yeah, it's there. Like, it exists. Like, if people want to hear me read it specifically, it exists. But it is not a good reading.
Well, we should probably wrap this up. We still have to record an episode after this.
I got book group tonight, so.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you, Patrick?
Well, you can find me, like I said, at Kent Kentley on the YouTubes. And I also have a podcast called Next Generation First Generation, where me and my buddy Sasha do Star Trek The Next Generation commentaries. And you can find that on iTunes and at Libsyn at Next Generation's First Generation Podcast.
You guys must be pretty excited about the Orville, huh?
We're digging it. Even
if digging it or not, it's just like a fascinating phenomena for Star Trek The Next Generation fans, I find.
Yes.
I'm digging Voyager it too. Fans. I find myself looking forward to episodes. I find myself looking forward to episodes of Discovery too. But I also find myself seeing things in Discovery that make me go like, argh! While still enjoying it. Whereas the Orville, I just like sort of sit in a warm Star Trek glow and go like, ew, okay. And then can forgive a lot of stuff because it's actually not Star Trek. So it's a weird dynamic. But yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to your podcast, but I'm actually planning on listening to it. I've been in an especially Star Trek Next Generation mood, so it's just timed perfectly.
Yeah, we just got up to Justice is the one coming out this week, the sexy Aryan planet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's the porn planet, basically. It's the planet of the porn stars.
Oh, cool.
And Wesley fucks it all up. Ruins everything. Riker's just about to just like throw himself into that world full bore. You're about to have your first pornographic Star Trek episode and Wesley has to go. Wesley is like, it's like every Wesley's dream, that planet, and he messes it up.
Wait, isn't Wesley Will Wheaton?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I pick up things from the Big Bang Theory.
Oh boy.
No, I shouldn't say that. I know how many people hate that show, but I like it. I will totally admit it's not the greatest show, but I've been watching it for every season, and there's a lot I like about it. So.
I don't like it, but I'm not a fan of that sitcom format. So yeah. I'm not gonna like almost anything that's written and presented like that. But if it's about nerds, it's extra grindy for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, for being on the show today.
Hey, you're welcome, guys.
Yeah, it was good. We got to talk about some embarrassing high school stuff too.
Oh, don't talk about it again.
I don't want to get up and go to the chalkboard.
I can't. I broke my ankle.
Yeah, I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, we're back. And right now we have one of my, well, I guess when I count, say like a long time listener, though we didn't have the show when I was in high school.
Long time listener to you. Your
yeah,
voice.
Like we went to high school together, and then I found out that my old high school buddy Brian Weber listened to the show, so we have him on tonight. Hi, Brian.
Hi there, Hope.
Hi there, Chris.
Congratulations on this being your first podcast.
Oh, yes. I'm so scared and nervous. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Don't be scared and nervous. We act like dicks every week, so it's
yep. Yeah, I think you pretty much know what to expect if you've listened to enough shows.
It's okay. I got my cup of special nog next to me, so I think I'll be all right.
That always helps.
On my Friends Once Upon a Time podcast, whenever they were drinking liquor, they would call it the magic juice.
Ah.
watched it at the fantasy show, they'd be like, I have extra magic juice tonight for this.
Or just right, like your mom would just call it another bottle of wine.
Yeah, that was true. That was fun.
I got my cup of Jawa juice.
Oh, Jawa juice. Ew.
Hey, what do you know?
Jawa juices are gross.
Oh.
Watch out now.
So,
hello, my little friend.
Oh, yeah. She has a killer Obi-Wan cosplay, by the way. There's pictures of it in the Two True Freaks cantina.
Oh, yes. I'm actually Ewan McGregor. That's my secret identity. Just
what?
Go around. No, I'm sorry, Hope. I went to high school with you for all those years, and it was just a sham.
Yeah, judging by your picture, you could do a mean Obi-Wan cosplay.
We'll pass it along to the Lucasfilm organization, and I'm gonna be big one of these days, guys. I'm gonna be big, so big.
You could be like Ewan McGregor's stunt double. just like go like stunts. Parkour off a building. You'll be fine.
Parkour.
I have a coworker who looks like Anakin. Circa episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably get a fan film going here too.
I was about to say the exact same thing. We can make fan movies.
I want to be Yoda. I get to be Yoda.
There we go. We'll finish out season 6 and 7 and 8 of Clone Wars.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
My friend Tiffany is a good Ahsoka cosplayer too. She just got initiated into, I think, the 501st.
For Rebel Legion?
Cosplay.
Yeah,
Rebel Legions.
Ooh, I could probably be
Greedy
too.
This is going someplace. You thought you were just inviting, but no, this is now a brainstorming session, as I'm sure all of them have been.
So we can take the what-if scripts, like the ones that we know are canon, and then just fill in dialogue and be like, it's the Battle of Mandalore. Rex, you look so hot today! Thanks, babe.
Hey, there was that, I think he was like 10 to 12 years old when they started a kid, and he and his friends all shot Raiders of the Lost Ark in their backyard, shot by shot, replicated every shot of it. If they can pull it off, we can do season 7 as Clone Wars, or season 6, or whichever one it is.
I know actor people and screenwriting people.
This is great.
We don't even
worst that can happen.
Exactly. Nobody would sue us.
Hey, they love the fan arts. Or they used to, anyway. Who knows?
We'll just do like the Orville and we'll put some comedy in it, and then it'll be satire.
Oh, we can dress up my pug like Jar Jar and just shit, because she barks and she's just got... Well,
it's funny that you say that, because in the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, they had a little peanut dog, and they used him as the monkey in Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you remember the monkey that they befriended, who ended up betraying them and eating poison dates.
Hmm.
So they just use their wiener dog, and you know what? They pulled it off too. So I think pugs are way more dramatic than wiener dogs too.
Yeah,
pugs are character actors. They're like, they all look like Ernest Borgnine to start with.
Are you calling my pug Johnny Depp? Because that's a terrible insult.
No, I'm calling him Ernest Borgnine.
Okay,
all pugs are Ernest Borgnine.
So the cool thing about Brian was the first person from the show that I met in like real life, not counting Chris, but and I was, it wasn't this year, but it was last year's Dragon Con, and I was sitting at my booth and Brian comes up and I was just like, oh man, Brian, hey, what's up? It's been a long time. Holy shit, your wife is really hot. Good job, man.
Yes, she is.
I haven't seen you in so long. And God, your wife makes me remember why I'm bisexual. God. And don't tell her that.
No, we only just put it on the podcast, Hope.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
But yeah, she'll never know.
But then out of nowhere, Brian goes, by the way, I love your show. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And I was like, show? What show? And he was like, Jay Guys and Jedi. I was like, oh my God, people listen to us?
It's not like he's talking about Hope of All Trades.
No, because I hadn't put up a Hope of All Trade in like a year or something.
I honestly thought
you were referring to like some like short little 10-minute play that's on YouTube that I did. But even then I was like...
Oh, links in the show notes.
No. No.
And that was the moment Hope officially realized that she had a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just got to say, from my perspective, it was one of those things of just like, I wonder if I'm going to run into Hope. I hope it doesn't sound too creepy, just going like, hey, by the way, saw your show, recognize the name.
Now, yeah, that was my next question is, did you just like, were you looking for Clone Wars podcasts and then was like, Hope Mullinex, I know her.
I think I posted on Facebook.
I believe if I'm going to be, it's a little while ago. Your Honor, don't hold me accountable to this information. But I saw the I saw like a tweet of or a Facebook post from Hope, and I had been also looking for podcasts around the time because it's one of those situations where you're going like, "Hey, I wonder if I can instead of listening to talk radio, listen to radio that actually matters." You know, like Star Wars. And that's when I remembered that podcasts were a thing. But yeah, and so I looked you guys up and was laughing ever since.
Aww.
What you just reminded me of one good side. We have a local radio station. People are starting to do their podcasts on it.
It's the natural evolution of things.
Yeah, so you know, all the political podcasts, whether they're left or right, don't. The right-wing ones last because they have people pumping money into them.
Hmm.
Like, from outside, like, not advertisers, but people saying, like, here's some money to stay on the air. None of them really make money. And when the left-wing guys tried to do radio shows like the right-wing shows, what they neglected to do was get money coming in. So they were like, we'll sell ads and stuff, and then they died out. So I'm wondering if... And that to me means like most people, I don't think most people really care to listen to politics anyway, but they'll just listen to somebody talking on the air. I wonder if someday if all the political talk on the radio will, you know, people will be like, I don't want to turn on AM. All they talk about is Star Trek and Star Wars on there. That would be such a great day.
I don't think it'll ever happen because Star Trek and Star Wars, those are passion projects. Everybody's got those hostile feelings towards the politics of the day, but Star Wars, that's love. And I guess Star Trek's okay,
well,
too.
Well, I don't know. You ever been to the Star Trek track at Dragon Con?
If we're going to go to the video games and being charged exorbitant amounts of money, okay, there's a little bit of love-hate going on there, even still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No, I mean... literally you could have your Star Wars radio podcast and, you know, it'd be just like, oh, I hate that guy, he's a prequel apologist, you know.
I gotta have
you know, basically you'll have the podcast of equivalent of Rush Limbaugh, who I guess I could be me or whatever, just coming out and be like, you know, these what they're saying about episode one will run them out of the you know, and then the people who hate episode one will hate the prequels will have their own radio show, and then we can have a piss war on Twitter to go a lot to drive our ratings, and it'll be wonderful. Yeah. Star Trek, oh my God, Star Trek fans will eat each other alive if you throw them enough meat.
Yeah,
I know how to
will.
Do that.
Because then you'll have your new people be like, Discovery's the best, and they'd be like, excuse you, you're a fake geek or something.
You know what was the best thing to ever come into Star Trek? Lens flare. Boom.
That's okay. We got Porgs now.
Boom. The phones light up.
Oh my God. They named the ice boxers from Force Awakens today.
They did.
And honestly, I have to look it up because it's two letters extra.
Wait, they named the what?
The ice boxes?
What ice boxes?
The ice boxes that were in the trailers.
Of The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
There were ice boxes in the trailers?
Yes.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Last Jedi.
Wait.
Yes, sorry.
There's ice boxes in the trailer to Last Jedi?
Yes!
Like in a mana... refrigerator, freezer, or something you're talking about?
Let me send you a picture of one of these. It was in the trailer. If you see one, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. And spoilers, I just looked it up, and it's Voltex.
Voltex.
Which is definitely, like this article is saying, is definitely Vulpix.
It's Vulpix from Alola.
Oh, the ice. Oh, Jesus Christ, yes. You mean Ice Fox.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Ice Box.
No, Ice Fox. Foxes.
Well, there was a guy in Empire Strikes Back running around with the little freezer unit or the like ice cream maker or whatever. I figured maybe they put in ice boxes in the new movie.
He actually got a toy. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, my brain was accepting the concept that there might be ice boxes in either The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi. I'm like, really? They snuck an ice box Easter egg in there? Yeah, there's a new like little clip of them designing the practical ice foxes, which close up look pretty, like, kind of cheesy. The crystals look kind of plastic and look like pieces of, like, a cheap plastic chandelier and then randomly stuck out fiber optics. But, of course, I'm sure they're using it. I'll bet you they're using it more like something for motion capture, you know, than they are actually going to see those crystals, because when they're fully animated, they look like they're made out of stone, or at least they're. Yeah, I have a feeling ice foxes will see them for about 10 seconds in the whole movie.
You know, I just can't get over it though, because they're called Vulpix, and I'm just gonna call it a Vulpix at all times, because I think we finally found the Alola region in Star Wars. they look like Alolan Vulpixes.
Yeah, we got the Porgs, we got the Vulpixes, and now we just need a Porgachu.
Porgachu!
Oh my god, that might be a Photoshop project.
a little Porg with a
I can't believe
rope on it going, pow!
I can't believe there aren't Porgachus all over the internet right now. That's like peanut butter and chocolate right there.
Have you seen a Vulpix from the Alola region, Chris?
No.
I'm going to send one to you. And that's a Ninetales right beside it. And I swear to God, like, that's what they named it after. They were, like, someone at Lucasfilms was just like, you know what I love? Pokemon. Hey, Stan, you get to name this creature. Really? It's a Vulpix. They're like, isn't that a copyright? He's just like, add two letters to it. It'll be fine. Vulpix. No one will know. Nerds won't know. The real thing.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. I get excited whenever we talk about The Last Jedi, like in these episode 100 things, because I know it's going to be out by the time this comes out, and like, it's just so close. Mm-hmm. It's so close, I'm more excited now that like they gave Rian Johnson that new trilogy, because I have a good feeling that like he did a really good job on this, and that might, and he's also been coming out and saying exactly like the opposite of I think it was with Gene, you asked me, you know, what I thought I was going to get out of The Last Jedi, and in this exact episode it's and that's going to be annoying about this episode because it's been recorded on so many different days, I'll have to put these in order so you can hear the evolution of my opinion. But Rian Johnson's been saying you are definitely not going to see a remake of Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of glad to hear that. I don't know if I totally believe it, but I like hearing it.
Well, for the sake of like just asking, we talked to Gene last week about what we thought about what would happen and what we wanted to happen in The Last Jedi. So you're gonna have to listen to find out, Brian. What do you think is going to happen in Last Jedi, and what do you want to happen? And I feel bad that we didn't ask this to all of our other guests, Chris.
It's okay. We asked them a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, we got to talk to Dario about Eat It and Beat It stuff. That was fun.
but The Last Jedi, I expect there to be a Jedi, and we're going to think
Shut
that
up.
It's the last, but it's not. Yeah.
It's going to be that way, is it?
Blanket answers. I don't know anymore.
It's going to be so about 2 hours with credits at the end.
I'm still waiting for the, you know, that Rey, I am your father moment, but I don't know if it's going to happen anymore.
Well, how about this? What do you want? What would be your ideal situation for it? Whether like it's something, you know, it doesn't have to be specific. I want to see this. It could be, or it could be just like the theme or feel you want for it.
I want to see a lot of Luke Skywalker and a lot of Rey kicking ass. I mean, yes.
I'm right there, especially. Well, I'm assuming we're going to see Rey kicking ass, or at least we're going to see a lot of Rey's story anyway, and it's going to have action in it. But I want a lot of Luke Skywalker. I want Luke Skywalker. I want Mark Hamill to get a chance to really, like, have his day, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be my day, too.
For me, like I said, this is different from what I said last week, so I can say it. I started thinking over the course of the last week is at Celebration, they said that Rose would be the breakout character of the movie. But she's not really in any of the promos. Like, she wasn't in the two trailers. She's briefly here and there in, like, the TV spots that they've been releasing this week. But, like, I haven't seen, like, really anything of Rose. But she has a comic coming. IDW's doing a one-shot of her and her sister. I mean, she has toys. So I think she is going to be important, but I think they're really starting to keep her under wraps for a reason.
It might be her story. It might be what happens with her is would give away too much or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe they've also, you know, there's also a lot of reason. Like, they just established, you know, you've got your Luke and Leia. But, you know, they just established all the Force Awakens characters, so they might want to focus on all the, you know, as many familiar faces as possible.
Like, I really do think that she might be playing more of a Lando role. Like, they'll introduce her a bit in this movie, and then she'll have, like, a big part in the third movie. But I started wondering about that, because they said she was the breakout character, but she's, like, not really in any of the trailers or the TV
spots.
Even though
a breakout character, that's also can be, you know, that can mean a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean she's going to be there a lot or even play a major role, but it might just mean, you know, the actress was really good and, you know, just created a character that people are, you know. It could be one of those things where she's not in it that much, but when she is in it, it's just like, I want to see more of that. So who knows?
I think there's a lot to do with that. It's just the fact that they learned their lesson from Captain Phasma. Captain Phasma everywhere, and then people were really disappointed that she wasn't, you know, a big part of Force Awakens.
Right.
So
and the Jedi, actress
they're
who played...
maybe trying to downplay it so that your expectations are a little bit lowered, and then you're really impressed with the character.
I think a lot of what hurt Captain Phasma too is that, you know, a lot of people are big fans of her character from Game of Thrones and the actress, and so they were like, all right, you know, we're going to get to see her in a Star Wars movie, and you never even see her face. Never even takes her helmet off, you know. She could have literally dubbed in her lines, and that could have been her complete, you know, contribution, that actress's complete contribution to Force Awakens could have been in the Foley room in post-production. So, although she was in the costume and everything, but it's like...
I think we would have been robbed of something good, though, if she had been just dubbing it in.
Yeah.
Though, I have to say, Kelly Marie Tran, who plays Rose, has the most precious Instagram. There's, like, pictures of her on Force Friday, like, buying every toy with her face on it. What would you be doing
if you were in a Star Wars movie? I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be at the store like, you got to give this to me for free. See, this is me.
For Halloween, she made her own Porg costume with her sister, and they're like walking around squawking at things. There's a picture of her with a Pikachu backpack when she got to tour Disney. When she got to tour Disney Studios, she didn't know she would go to the Pixar section, so she's wearing her Monsters Incorporated shirt, and she runs into a Sully and Mike Wazowski statue, and she got to stand with them. Like, she is absolutely precious. I've fallen in love with this woman so much. Oh, I love her.
I'll wait till her sex abuse scandal comes out.
Oh, jeez. Don't even start.
I'm a jerk.
yeah, that was not your best, Chris.
Well, hey, Star Wars has been doing pretty good.
Yes,
right?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. What could possibly go wrong?
That's right.
Well, Lupita Lupita wrote one of the like the longest essays about Harvey Weinstein and what he did to her. It was so moving and powerful. I was crying by the end of it. But it was her accounts of it, and it just made me respect Lupita Nyong'o so much more, and I love her. She's my queen. But all right, Brian, I'm going to ask you something I've asked everybody, okay?
I bet you ask all the guys this.
Yes, actually, so far, yes.
Yeah.
And it's all been guys.
Yeah, if we had any girls on, I would ask them this too. What do you love about the show? And I mean both Clone Wars and our show.
Clone Wars, I love it that it's Star Wars. And especially now that I know that that you know it's 100% canon and all the books are not canon, so much more enjoyable going back and running through it. What I love about y'all's show is definitely the fact that it's more Star Wars. As soon as Force Awakens came out, I was just kind of like, yeah, there's definitely not enough in my life. So you turn to your podcasts, and to have you guys laughing and going back to all these wonderful, wonderful art pieces and throughout our Star Wars history, you know, because it's super, super important. It's been fun. It's been you bring up all these information that I didn't know because it's in the show notes, and I don't really watch the credits or the show notes or anything like that. So it's kind of awesome to see the connections that are going through, and I wouldn't have gotten that before. And at the same time, I get to laugh at a fart joke every once in a while.
Or worse. Yeah,
you know, because it's the classiest kind of humor.
We definitely there's a definite focus on bodily functions. And not so, just at the very least, you're gonna get eating in our show. The one thing that people
emission to listen to you every single time.
What's funny is we added a section to our podcast that actually, whenever like I'm on like Facebook groups or groups of people who have podcasts, and somebody pops in and goes, "Hey, what should I never do on my podcast?" or "What do you hate people doing on podcasts?" Almost right up in the top three is I hate hearing people eating something on a podcast. So we added it. We added it right into the show.
Well, you see, that's because eating would be taking away. Now it's the focus.
Yes.
You know, so long as you don't eat and then beat it right there. I mean, if you edit it out, you know, that's all you.
Hope we ought to find out what else people hate about podcasts and get right on that.
Well, I was thinking about that tonight because I was wearing leggings and some sleep pants, and I was like, I'll be fine. And I sat down to get ready to record, and I was like, it's really hot. And I was like, if I don't take off these pants now, I'm going to have to take them off in the middle of the show. And then Chris is going to be like, what are you doing? I'm like, taking off my pants.
Hang on a second, guys. I got to take my pants off. That happens a lot during podcasts, you know.
Yeah. Actually, but I have leggings on underneath.
It crosses the whole gender line. Yeah, there's a lot of pantsless. I'm actually wearing pants, underwear, and Under Armour. It's officially winter here up in Western New York. We got snow on the ground and everything.
I'm wearing my winter leggings, and on top I have my rubber ducky boxers that I've had forever. They say, squeaky clean rubber ducky, fun in the tub, and they have like little bubbles around the ducks. So I love my rubber ducky boxers.
I'm wearing my FBI hoodie.
What are you wearing, Brian? What are you wearing, Brian?
Oh dear, let me go into gruesome detail with you. I'm wearing two pairs of socks.
I'm wearing two pairs of socks too, actually.
So that was your chance to be like, well, I'm wearing my Jedi robe and my Ewan McGregor beard.
Well, funny you should say that. Because I am wearing a Jedi bathrobe. And of course, I still have my beard. So yeah. Well, Jedi bathrobe, super comfy, fleece, it's great.
So do you think I've never seen a picture of your wife, but do you think your wife could dress up as Satine?
She is brunette, So she could definitely do the wig. She could pull it off. She's not taller than me, which I think, if I remember correctly, Satine was taller than Kenobi. But, you know, we could make this work.
What about Ventress? If you guys want to get really side, you know, let's talk about after the convention. Heading back in costume, just going like, hey, look pretty good, bald.
Chancellor of Mandalore in the streets.
She could be Anakin.
Hey, oh, I'm okay with this.
You guys could be like really cute together.
I don't know, yelling out, "You are my brother, Anakin," would probably be a little bit weird. You know, just.
Oh no! Everywhere you guys go, you should climb up on everything and be just like, "I've got the high ground." High ground. That's how. By the end of the con, you should just be jumping up on things and going, "High ground," flipping them off.
I purchased the High Ground DLC. Yay.
Well, do you have any burning questions for us? Oh, hey, I am Facebook friends with your wife. Yay!
Hooray! Crisis averted. Burning questions. No. You guys were already talking about a little while back about covering those Ewok movies, and I would love to see the reactions on there. Obviously, the Star Wars.
I've seen them. She hasn't, and yeah, oh boy.
Yeah, the Star Wars Holiday Special. That was truly special. Truly.
Oh, I was explaining it to a customer the other day, and because they'd never seen it, and I was like, "You don't understand. It's bad." And they're like, "How bad can it be?" And I was like, "No, you don't understand. It's on
everybody
YouTube. Don't
goes
watch it.
Into it with how bad it can it be." Everybody yeah. goes into it with how bad it can it be, except me, because the first time I went into it, I'm like, this is going to be super awesome, because it was the first time it came out. I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, a few days ago, it was November 17th, the anniversary of the release of Star Wars Holiday Special. So I turn over to my partner at work and, you know, explain to him what Star Wars Holiday Special is. And of course, he's already like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm a serious, serious person. I'm not in any way, shape, or form going to watch any holiday special. So as soon as he wasn't looking, I loaded up the Wookiee porn scene.
Always and, a great starting
this minute
point.
Now, he was very horrified.
How could you not watch the rest of it if you saw that though? How could you not be like, okay, I gotta see?
It was just a YouTube thing. I do
and,
have.
And you say Harvey Korman is in this also?
It's that was, like, that's kind how of how I was when I was explaining it wrong? To a customer. Because like I was talking to this customer, I was like, "You don't understand. There's like an alien Julia Childs," and they were like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, for the first 20 minutes, no one talks except for alien Julia Childs, and then Cirque du Soleil comes out, and they just looking at me. And it's like, and then their like trader friend shows up and gives Chewbacca's dad a porn machine where he watches a woman strip and sing to him, and he's making all these like noises, and the guy's just like, his eyes are slowly getting bigger, and I was like, yeah, and then the Golden Girls come out, I'm not kidding, and then Leia sings, and then, oh, and don't forget about Jefferson Starship.
every year, you guys need to do a holiday special review. No. That's just how it goes.
I've already done two commentaries for it so far, so yeah, I think that's as far as I can ever go. And the Ewok ones are not as if you survive the holiday special, you'll survive the Ewok special much more easily. But they have their they have their charms, that's for sure. I'm grievousing out here.
You choke on one of those hairs? You okay over there?
Well, I was cleaning my arms earlier, so.
Yoda had too much.
Got a hairball going there.
Well, Brian, did you have anything else for us?
Just my warmth and affection and my well wishes into more and more happiness and joy into the new years and all the episodes to come. Aww. That's the Nog talking.
So you don't actually mean it, I see.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Or I mean it more. One of the two. We'll find out.
Well, do you have anything that you want to pimp out on the show? Any blogs, Twitters, podcasts, or anything like that?
Nope. My Twitter handle is at @obiquiet, as in Obi-Wan Kenobi, Qui-Gon Jinn, and yet Fett with a Y. And I very rarely even go onto that. But when I do, it's terrible, terrible Star Wars jokes.
They're great. They really are.
I think the last one was like 3 years ago, though. So really, rarely.
Well, all I know is after Hope and I are done recording, I'm whipping out Photoshop and doing a Pikachu right away. I'm going to be the first one to put it out there.
Pikachu, I choose you.
And damn it, I know right now there's some nerd in his mom's basement right now just hitting send on his Pikachu picture.
That was a good Porg impression, Brian.
My only issue with the Porg in that trailer is that it definitely sounded, I mean, obviously it was electronically manufactured, but it sounded like something that you would pick up at a toy shop. It did not sound like a professional Lucasfilm thing.
That's another thing that I hope that, like, a lot of times by the time you see the movie, that scene could be completely looped differently. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what I'm
Rogue
hoping.
One definitely taught us.
No, like, they released all those short little animated shorts, and one was, like, the Porg that got, like, that snuck in. Well, there was two of them. One was, like, the Porg stealing BB-8's head, and then there was another one of the Porg sneaking into the Millennium Falcon. And I hope they sound more like that, because those are really cute, because they actually sound kind of like bird mice, like if birds and mice had babies. Bice. They sound like bice.
Bison?
No, that's...
Bison burgers.
Well, all right. Thank you for being on with us tonight, Brian.
Thank you for having me. It was
nice
so
meeting
much
you.
Fun.
Tell the wife I said hi.
I will do so. And
tell the wife I said hi.
Don't do it, Brian. It's a trap.
It's a trap. And that's a wrap.
Yoda's looking up her profile on Facebook right now.
Guys, don't look up Brian's wife's square file. All right, everybody. Today we have Gene Hendricks on. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Hi guys, you sound really, really slow. Is something wrong? Hold it. Wait a second. Sorry, my speed control was off.
We want you to hear our normal voices every once in a while, Gene, so we're going to have to randomly talk slow.
I'm so happy you picked up on that.
Yeah, it's... In order to get through the number of podcasts that I have to get through, and yes, I did say have to, because I have a mental difficulty with
I was just going to say, listening. Yeah, otherwise, you know, you don't get that paycheck, that fat paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, DiMonzo makes some very specific demands in order for me to get clear the check, so.
Yeah, well, after what's been going on in Hollywood lately, he might not be making the same demands, that's all I got to say.
He's been getting away with his stuff for decades now.
Decades.
So we'll see what happens.
His day's coming, that's all I gotta say.
In our normal voices today, we have Gene to the podcasting machine. Ba-da-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Gene!
And we love him because he listens to every episode of Two True Freaks. And he also runs our Two True Freaks Twitter account. So if you're ever wondering on Wednesdays who I retweet when our episodes, it's Gene. So hello, Gene.
Hello, guys. It's very nice to be here. I mean, you guys do a very interesting show.
That's putting it lightly.
Well, I mean, it's not every show that can talk about jizz farts, you know?
I forgot about that. It's true. I was talking to a customer in my store, and I was on him about the podcast. And as I went to go get my card, I stopped and I looked at him, and I was like, by the way, this is a not safe for work podcast. And he's like, I'm okay with, like, you know, some language and stuff. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We had a listener say that we taught him more sex education than school. And he kind of looked at me and he was like, oh, well, I'm okay with that too. And I was like, are you okay with penis piercings and frying pans? And he just kind of went silent. I was like, okay, I'm going to get my card for you. and went to the back, and I was like, that was not good. But he was excited, so
the question
yay.
Is, do we want him to be okay with that?
I don't know.
What level of okay do we want him to be with that? I don't want him to be too okay with it.
How supportive are we of penis piercings on the show?
I'm gonna take it all on an individual basis.
I'm very much to each their own. You know, to each their own.
Yeah, so. Yeah. There still might be some that I'm totally against, though.
Yeah, really, the only ones I'm totally against are if it ever happens to me.
Me, especially, yes.
Me, not so much, but I don't have a penis. Mm. Damn it! I wish I had a penis. Actually, I really want a beard.
maybe a kind listener will send you one.
Well, I've always wanted a beard, like my entire life, and it better come from Dario, because if I don't get one from Eden, beat it, I'm gonna be sad. That's gonna be my next box. I'm gonna have like a chocolate penis from like Switzerland or something.
I imagine there's some sort of hormone shots or pills you could take that could get you there.
I just want one for like an hour. Actually, more than anything, I've always wanted a beard. Because I just, like, want to be able to stroke my beard as I think. I want, like, a beard. That's what I've always wanted.
Wouldn't it suck if you did the hormone treatment and all of a sudden, and all you could get was, like, a Shaggy from Scooby-Doo beard? You know, those, like, like that teenager beard that's, like, five wiry, curly hairs?
I know I'm a weird person. It's okay. I just, like, for an hour, just, like, want to stroke a beard as I think. Hey, we should probably talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars? What? Who wants to talk about Star Wars?
Yeah, let's talk about penises and beards and bushes.
So, Gene, how you feeling about The Last Jedi?
Well, I'm gonna go see it.
Oh my god, you're just like talking to Scott Gardner. It's great. He's calling The Last Jedi The Last Chance.
He said that
about The Force Awakens. I mean, come on.
No,
I'm more wondering because they just announced that they're doing a non-Skywalker trilogy and a live-action show.
I'm a little bit concerned that Disney's trying to get their investment back
too fast
all at once. Yeah,
I'm on the fence about one thing, which is. I would like the TV show to be Old Republic, just to have, because if they try to put like, all of the Old Republic into three movies, it'd be really crammed, but I feel like with a television show, they could really develop it, and, like, really, like, work through it and stuff like that.
They could do a milder version, a PG version of Game of Thrones, basically, with Jedi and Sith.
Yeah, and so, yeah. But if it's the movies, I'd be more on the fence, but I'm kind of, like, my thing about it is, I remember... While I like having, like, a Star Wars movie every year and it's, like, fun and I can always look forward to it, I also miss, like, the whole, like, it's been 5 years and I'm on the internet and then out of nowhere they're like, Disney just announced a Star Wars movie for next year, and I'd be like, oh my god, it's been 5 years!
Whereas now it's, and Disney announced a new trilogy. Yeah, and?
Yeah. So it just really depends. I think with the live action TV show, as long as it doesn't affect the animation shows, because I really love what they're doing with the animated shows. And
yeah, I mean, really, the best, in my opinion, the best way to do it would be to move it way back in time. So, like, remember the Dark Horse Tales of the Jedi, where it was
like 3,000 or 4,000 years or something like
that. It was 1,000 years before the events of Star Wars. So, and it was these famous Jedi that they had laid seeds in Dark Empire of, the great Jedi, Ulik Queldroma, and all this, his adventures. So it would be far enough back that you wouldn't affect anything. You wouldn't have to have Palpatine or any of that going on, but you would still have Jedi, you would still have You could see the origins of the Sith. You could see, like, Darth Plagueis, you know, way back there.
And you would have a whole bunch of characters that you just didn't know what their eventual fate was.
Right. You know all these people are going to be dead by the time of Star Wars. But how does it affect, how does it lay the groundwork for everything?
Right, right. And, yeah. And I mean, you can do, and just from a story point of view, I mean, everybody's going to be dead in 1,000 years in every story.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who was Palpatine's master?
They hint that it was Sifo-Dyas, Plagueis.
Plagueis. I wouldn't mind the trilogy being about Darth Plagueis. And then having the TV show Old Republic. That's kind of what I'm sort of leaning for. I've had a lot of people throw, like, I've talked to a couple of people in my store, and a few of them are, like, calling for, like, Darth Bane and stuff and all that, which I think would be cool. But I kind of also wouldn't mind them doing just something, like, far off in the corner of the galaxy and stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to see what I'm waiting to see what Rian Johnson's movie's like before I start wishing what he does, and I'm gonna sort of base it off that. I mean, it says I think Patrick Delmore was, somebody was talking about, you know, the new trilogy, the non Skywalker trilogy, and people were complaining, and he's like, look, Star Wars he's like, I still like Star Wars, but the reality is it's not special anymore. You know, it's not a special occasion. It's just part of reality. So it's, you know, it's going to be kind of a transition to that, to where it's just going to be ubiquitous. But I like the idea of a new trilogy detached from the Skywalkers, because that trilogy was good news to me, because that was what I was sort of hoping we would start. I'm hoping that what happened is they're looking at The Last Jedi and going like, oh, this is really nice work, you know, and it's, and this guy, you know, so instead of, you know, I'm glad Ron Howard's working on Han Solo and stuff. I'm not glad J.J. Abrams is back on, you know, the next episode after that, but it's like, I was sort of hoping for somebody who, like, one of the new bloods to strike gold, you know, one of the people our age or younger that like, you know, is getting their crack at Star Wars and really feels it. So I'm hoping that's Rian Johnson, and he's a good filmmaker. And he's,
what if they give some of the live action TV show to Dave Filoni?
I'd be all up for that.
Yeah, that would work.
But I still like, I know they already have like another, they've talked about having the next animation. Like, they haven't gone into any details, but they're like, yeah, we're like, the animation house is strong. It's not going anywhere. So on one hand, I wouldn't want him to leave that. But on the other hand, I was like, please give Dave Filoni the TV show.
Or he could be some sort of creative consultant producer on it. Would
he probably would, because they brought him on set for Last Jedi just to make sure things were meshing up. So he was, and they also brought, no, I'm sorry, for Rogue One. They brought him on set for Rogue One because they knew how important it was to have things like mesh up and stuff. They're very much aware that, like, he's a force at Lucasfilms. Pun not intended.
He should be. He has literally produced more awesome Star Wars than anybody else.
Yeah.
If you go by minutes, minutes.
He has the Emmy nominations to show it. When was the last time Star Wars got an Oscar?
Yeah, they usually pick up a special effects Oscar here and
there.
Yeah,
but I mean, like for like content, like a content.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. He has really made more Star Wars than any other human in the you know, even more than George Lucas at this point. And the amount of it that's great is a high percentage, you know? So, yeah, personally, like, if like, Kathleen Kennedy's like, well, I'm retiring, that's where I would put Dave Filoni, right there.
If he
wanted to do that. He might not want to be that person. He might want to be in the trenches, you know? He might be very happy in the trenches, but he's like one of the people I trust with Star Wars right now.
Yeah. Well, even though this episode will be out after Last Jedi, and so we can always go back and then laugh at how wrong we are, what are your predictions for Last Jedi?
What do I think will happen, or what do I hope will happen?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
The main thing I hope will happen is that we find out that Rey is not related to anybody that we know.
I'd like that too.
I don't want her to be a Skywalker or a Kenobi or a Calrissian.
Yeah, I don't need that to mesh up at all. Yeah.
No, she's just another Force user. She just happens to be very powerful early on. I'm good with that. I don't want her to be...
What about if she's another Vergence? Brace yourself. I think that could be where they're going.
Yeah, if they handle it well, then it could be okay. But I don't want them to bring back midichlorians or any of that mess.
Well, what do you think will happen?
What I think will happen is that we find out she's Luke's daughter and... he was the worst parent in the galaxy and left her all alone on a desert planet.
What about you, Chris?
Just another bad parent in Star Wars.
Yep.
What about you, Chris? What do you hope will happen? What do you think will happen?
What do I hope will happen? What I really hope will happen is that Luke Skywalker will survive till the end of the movie. My hopes are a little simple. I hope Mark Hamill gets to kick some ass, and not just in a last standoff. I hope Mark Hamill isn't just like, I'm going to teach you a few things, say some cryptic things, here's my flashback, and then dies, you know, stopping Kylo Ren long enough so everybody else can get off the island.
Or I swear to
like
God,
that.
You're about to say, and here's my business card, call me. Anything. Bye.
But I hope that he is actually like just I hope that he is integrated into the story throughout and that he's a character involved in the action, you know, not just you know the old Jedi that they pull out for his last gasp, you know.
You don't want him to be Yoda.
No, I don't want him to be Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I want him to be Luke Skywalker and to be proactive and kick some ass and be alive at the end of the movie. Maybe, you know, maybe he can go nicely or however in the next movie. But I'd like to see Mark Hamill really get, and I think that will happen because I think there was a toss-up as to whether, you know, Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher would finish out the trilogy. And unfortunately, you know, Carrie Fisher didn't make it. So
right. So
I was thinking they were going for, you know, they were really going to go for developing Princess Leia's, you know, Jedi powers.
I think episode 9 was supposed to be Carrie's, like, full
would
movie.
Would be her, you know, kicking some ass, which would have been interesting and pretty awesome. But, you know, whatever, they have to do something different. And since it is the Skywalker story, and I would like Luke to finish out the story at least.
Yeah. Well, because like Scott Gardner is so want to point out, the original novelization of Star Wars says from the adventures of Luke Skywalker.
Right. Correct. And
well, what do you think will happen?
What do I think will happen? I think I will get a pretty close approximation of The Empire Strikes Back with a few of the plot devices of Empire Strikes Back turned on their heads. I'm really thinking that this is actually a positive. I think Kylo Ren's gonna be like could be the awesome character in this story. I think they're gonna I'm hoping they exploit the character that is Kylo Ren into some more complex stuff in this one, and we could have I think we could possibly see a switch with Rey and Kylo as far as character arcs go. I think we could see Rey I think we're going to see Rey spiraling out of control as it was all well and good that her Jedi powers were manifesting so quickly in the last movie, but, you know, and hope you won't get this, but Jean will. I think she's gonna Gary Mitchell a little bit.
That would make sense, actually, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Star Trek, where no man has gone before, Gary Mitchell, Captain Kirk's best friend, they fly through, the edge of the galaxy?
Yeah, the galactic barrier.
And he gets imbued with godlike powers and starts becoming incredibly smart and powerful, and eventually they have to kill him because he starts viewing humans as ants and stuff like that.
Absolute power corrupting absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And Snoke is just like waiting for her. You know, Snoke is waiting to betray Kylo Ren and snatch up Rey, who's going to be just boiling with good, you know, just like, you know, potential Force craziness.
Yeah, because if you look at The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren is really, really, really wanting to be evil,
mm-hmm.
but can't.
Yes.
He is fighting constantly, you know, his nature is wanting to be good, and he's fighting that all the time. So it makes sense that he would turn back, especially if Luke comes back and smacks him upside the head, you know? And then, yeah.
You know that Leia will kick in the door and grab him by the ear and drag him out.
She hasn't yet. She had a number of years to do that. She didn't.
Yeah. But one of my hopes and what I think is going to happen are kind of the same thing. And it's sort of what Chris was saying. I think in this movie, Kylo's going to slide to the dark, to the light side. Rey's going to slide to the dark side. And then movie 9, they'll both find the balance and just completely do away with the Jedi Order and the Sith and everything. And just be like, just be middle walkers. I think that's what I kind of hope / think that they're going to do. But the one thing I'm kind of still on the fence about is Adam Driver accidentally dropped a spoiler. But I don't know if it's one of those, like, he accidentally dropped a spoiler or if he dropped it on purpose to, like, just generate fan buzz. But it makes me wonder about Rey's parentage. Can I say it? Anyone care?
Well, everybody knows you're about to say it, so if people care, they can just skip over the next...
I think this episode's out after Last Jedi comes out.
Even so, they might not have seen it.
Right. Yeah.
We've had I saw people on Facebook complaining about getting spoilers from Jedi's and Jedi, by the way.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
What kind of spoilers?
I just sort of Rebels spoilers. Or just discussing Rebels before, you know,
before it happens.
Yeah, basically any discussion of it is technically spoiling a show you haven't seen any at all of. So
sorry guys.
I just was like, yeah, we kind of do what we do.
Yeah, sorry, guys. You guys know us, though. But, okay, well, if you don't want Last Jedi spoilers, if you haven't seen it, earmuffs for, like, the next, like, few minutes. Ready? Go. So Adam Driver, in an interview, called Rey a princess. And that made me go, princess? And I started thinking of... Maybe she's not a Kenobi per se, because her, obviously, Satine never had a child, because we would have saw it in Clone Wars, but I'm wondering if she might be, because of Rebels recently, Bo-Katan became the leader of Mandalore, of the Mandalore faction, and we don't know what happens to Mandalore at the end of Rebels, so I'm wondering if she might be, like, Bo-Katan's daughter.
That would be okay with me. That's okay with me. Like, I just don't want her to be, like, some... I don't want her to be Chewbacca or Luke or, you know, Leia or
especially since, like, in this season of Rebels, they really focused on, in the opening episodes, like, the whole how there was one Jedi that was a Mandalorian, and they were the wielder of the Darksaber, and they brought an end to the Jedi-Mandalorian wars.
I don't think they'd go for that. Because if they did, they'd have to explain who Bo-Katan was first. Because I think
no,
they,
they didn't explain anything about the Resistance being different from the Republic in The Force Awakens, so why would they bother explaining who a character was?
Yeah, that apparently that came in like a Leia book.
That's the thing is the general public is not going to have any of like, oh, this came from the cartoon or a book. They don't want to, they just, you know, they're going to want it to be somewhat self.
Something along the line of been like, you know, she's a princess from Mandalore.
From Mandalore, you know, yeah.
Right. Or and something just leave like it that. At that and then like have a novel of like, her background is, her right. mother is Bo-Katan, blah, blah, blah. I'm also kind of on the fence of whether or not she might be. And this is just because of, like, super rebels wanting, like, maybe, like, Ezra's daughter. Super rebels wanting. But that's, like, my, like, outlandish theory of, like, somehow she's connected to rebels just because I'm scared for Ezra and Kanan at all times. Like, I just watched the season finale, the mid-season finale of Rebels, and on one hand, I'm like, okay, well, this one character is going to be okay because this one character makes it to a later thing. But the other character, I'm just like, oh my God, Kanan, don't do anything. Just sit and bubble wrap in your cave and you'll be fine. just sit and bubble wrap, Kanan. Get in your bubble.
Yeah, but if he does that, then the cave-in will get him. So, yeah, he's not safe.
I know.
He ain't making it. I'm sorry, he ain't making it.
If she was Rey, Kanan and Hera's daughter, then Rey would be part green with kind of tendrily things coming out of her head. So I know that's not true. So, but, well, Gina, I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked everybody else.
All right.
And the question is, what is your favorite part of the show? And I mean both Clone Wars and our show.
Oh, that's interesting. Clone Wars, I have to say my favorite aspect of it is the non-wooden characters. So, like, you don't have the really stiff performances you get in the prequels because George Lucas can't handle actors. You get more nuanced things. You can see...
Yeah.
You can see where Anakin is a full character and where he has these flashes of anger but then pulls it back. And Obi-Wan has this really wicked sense of humor. But you don't get any of that in the actual movies. So that's what I like about Clone Wars.
You get attempts at it.
Yeah,
you get
dry
wooden attempts at it, you know, that signify that here's where... They're being snappy together, but yeah, and now that Clone Wars has gotten advanced enough in the CG department, now the facial expressions are starting to like surpass the movies.
Yeah.
So like the quote unquote physical aspect of the acting and the voice acting is way better.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it works so much better. That, you know, I really wish this is what it was in the movies. But as far as your show
now, what about us, Gene?
Yeah. What about you? I probably my absolute favorite part of the show is the new names that Hope gives the characters.
You're welcome. Chris came up with Farkin and Sharkin, and I was not that clever.
I mean, in the last couple, what was it, Lizard Thighs, and all the wonderful descriptions you had for all the different bounty hunters and everything.
I got Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, but
yeah, you also was the first one that came up with like vagina eyes, mitten hands.
Yeah, but that's because I listened to Butthole Surfers records, and that sounds like the title of a Butthole Surfers record.
Yeah, so that one, I the lizard thighs, I played off your vagina eyes, mitten hands, or whatever it was.
I think it was vagina eyes, mitten hands. No, I was playing off the Butthole Surfers Rembrandt Pussy Horse.
Oh, you should wait till Rebels, because I just come up with the dumbest nicknames for characters. I don't know anybody's names. Like for the longest time, I called Governor Price Flapper Girl because she has like a 20s haircut. So I just called her Flapper Girl?
You want to hear what a spaz I am? Now, well, you actually have assignments along with Rebels. I'm just watching Rebels, you know, like a Joe consumer. And I like, I think it was last night. I haven't watched Mondays, but I watched the two before that, I think. Or maybe they were Mondays. Anyway, I watched episodes, I think, 7 and 8. And every 3 minutes, I was reaching for my notebook to write, to make a note on something. And I'm like, not yet, not yet. 2 years. 2 years. Yeah. Around 2 years, I'll be getting to this.
The most recent nickname I came up with for my Rebel stuff was they just introduced Thrawn's assassin, Rook. And so I would spell his name R-U cap locks C-H-K-C-K-K-K-C-J-K-J-C-H-H and just like slammed it on for like 20 letters. So I just said Rook the whole way across.
That reminds
me. So, boy, okay.
In the early days of VHS, there was this guy named Len Silla, and he used to make these videotapes called Moron Movies. And they were just gags that he came up with his, he had just a video recorder at home. It was a guy in his house. And, you know, it was stupid stuff like, you know, Jell-O makes a terrible doorstop. And he would have a Jell-O, piece of Jell-O there, and the door would squish it. And I remember once he had one. They were true moron movies. They were great. We used to watch all of them. And he had one called Russian Lessons, where he's just like, dog in Russian. Cat. And so on and so on.
That kind of reminds me of way like back in the 90s when they still had like Fox Kids on the CW. They would do, you know, Pokemon would play, and they had when the first generation came out, they would have the PokeRap. Well, 1 week, they did the poker rap from around the world. So it was just the poker rap in different languages. And the German version of the poker rap just sounds so angry. It's just like, Hakashapata! Hakashapata! And I was just like, oh, Pokemon's scary and I'm 10.
Everything in German sounds angry.
And now we know, guys, though, that all Pikachu wanted was to be with its master.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that yet?
No.
It's the greatest thing. There's a new Pokemon movie, apparently.
Oh. Yeah, I saw the trailer for it this weekend.
Well, apparently.
I really want to see it. My friend saw it. I'm so jealous because I didn't see it yet.
Well, I say apparently, but definitely. Are you guys.
It's a retelling of the like parts of the.
Yeah, but can I spoil the ending of it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, spoilers, everybody, for the new Pokemon movie. Pikachu speaks at the end, and like, look, like he's laying on the ground. I don't know Pikachu's gender. I don't know I don't know much about Pokemon
except Pokemon Go.
But anyway, Pikachu's laying next to whoever the trainer guy is.
Ash,
and you know, doing the Pikachu or whatever, and says something like looks deep. They're looking, for all accounts, deep into their eyes, like they're about to make out. Yes. And Pikachu says, and there's all these bootlegged films of the theater freaking out. Pikachu's like, I only wanted, and you hear everybody in the theater going, because Pikachu's talking, and then looks him in the eye with her watery eyes and goes, to be with you, and you hear the whole audience go, wah! And then people going, what the fuck? It's amazing. You'll be seeing it on Facebook. It's making the rounds on Facebook, and it's the two videos I saw were both basically, you know, we're talking audience full of like grown ass adult men.
Yeah,
going what? It's beautiful. It might be the greatest troll ever of a movie-going audience since, like, David Lynch.
So they've had talks for a while. I don't know if it's a game or a TV show, but it's going to be a Japan-only thing where they have a new thing called Detective Pikachu. And he's pretty much Sherlock Holmes. He's, like, going around. It's a live-action movie except for Pikachu CGI'd. And he's going around solving cases with this kid. But apparently he talks. Like, he actually talks like a human the entire movie. And there's been, like, rumors that if they ever break into America, Detective Pikachu's voice is going to be The Rock.
Okay.
Not Vin Diesel?
Yeah, apparently.
That's expensive, so, but okay.
Yeah, so. And another side note, my coworker's dog has a pet rock. Like, he just found a rock one day, and it's his rock. And she named it DJ for Dwayne Johnson.
Nice.
Well,
that dog smells what that rock's cooking.
Yeah.
That's why he has it.
I like the enthusiasm there, Hope. Yeah.
Well, Gene, did you have any burning questions for us?
I can't say I do, no. Maybe one. Okay. How in the hell did it take you 30 episodes to realize that was me doing the announcing? 2008, the prequel trilogy is over!
I don't know. Had I heard your voice before that?
Well, you and I have spoken before, so I would hope so.
Then I don't have an excuse. I would say. My excuse would be like, I haven't heard your voice before, Gene. And not, oh yeah, because we've done Who True Freaks together, haven't we?
No, actually, I've never been on Who True Freaks.
When did we talk?
When we were doing stuff, like not podcast, actual podcasting, but we were doing other things on Skype.
Oh, okay. Well, I will say, for me, I have a very bad habit of, like, I can't connect names with faces. So I'll see, like, for example, a great example happened on Tuesday. I had two people come into my store, and they were like, "Help, hey!" And, like, I was just like, "Hey, what's up?
It's
hey!
You.
It's you." Well, and then as they started talking, they started mentioning, like, friends from college. And I was like, "Oh, these are college friends. Yeah, okay." And it, like, as soon as they left, I had to look them up, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I remember you guys now. Okay." Like, I'm very bad at connecting names that I see all the time with faces. So that also is true about names I see all the time with voices. Because I completely forgot, like, for example, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm really sorry, Dave. I completely forgot what Dave Walker sounded like until we did a recent episode of Who True Freaks, and I was just like, oh, I have recorded with Dave before. Oh, yeah.
I can hear his voice right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I totally remember Dave. And so, like, I'm very bad at connecting, like, names with voices. Like, there's been a couple times I'm just like, I have recorded this person. Or, like, I'll be on a group call and be like, I know I'm talking to a person. I know I talked to them before. I don't remember who this person is.
I'm good with faces and voices, but not names.
Well, we should probably wrap this up. Gene, do you have any last-minute things that you want to ask us about, tell us about the show or anything?
Well, I just want to tell you that I really do enjoy listening to the show. I don't do it as an obligation. I do it because I enjoy it.
It's not as much an obligation as an obsession.
You could say that, yeah. But the back and forth you two have is great. And really, anytime I get to hear Hope talk about Rex, my day is brightened.
Yeah.
Just because of the exuberance that you bring to it.
She ain't faking it when it comes to Rex, that's for sure. It's not an act.
So that and the candy reviews are fun, even though I don't get to taste any of that, but you know, I'll take that with Dario.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you gotta kiss up to Dario a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I got Hope the candy. I can't even get any of it.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, I don't mind playing secretary every now and again. But no, it's always a fun listen when you, every Wednesday. That's one of the first things I download, put right at the top of the list to listen. So it's fun. And thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, where can people find you?
Well, at the moment,
you do run our Two True Freaks Twitter page.
Yes, I do. And that I post for every show that comes out. not necessarily on the day because I can only do it when I'm in front of the computer, but I do that. Every Thursday, you can find me posting at thehammerstrikes.com, which is various geeky topics that just come into my head. It could be me doing a Star Wars version of Eastbound and Down from Smokey and the Bandit, or it could be me rewriting the last two episodes of an anime that ended with a cliffhanger and hasn't had a third season in 5 years. So, yeah, it's kind of all over the place, really. Depends on what my mood is, but that's every Thursday. And right now, as far as podcasting goes, I'm relegated to guest spots because of family obligations.
I get that.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
We really appreciate it, Gene. Gene, the podcasting machine.
You want to talk about OCD, Gene? I'm gonna pull out my recording and editing program and start speeding up my voice and practicing talking slow so it
speeds
up voice accurate. What are you? You're 1.5, right?
When I listen to you guys, it's 1.25.
1.25. Okay.
I'm caught up. It's only 1.5 is only the ones I'm working through back
catalog.
Getting
through the back catalog. Okay, so okay, that's all I need to know. I just need the ratio.
Yep. That's going to be an interesting experiment.
Maybe we should alternate shows. We'll do a regular show and a slow show. The slow shows will be 3 hours long.
Do you know how long it would take us to record that?
Ooh. 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 Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Yoda's gonna sound like Jabba the Hutt. He's gonna sound like Jabba the Hutt.
Yes, he is.
And if you play it back too fast, you're gonna sound like an Ewok.
Well, thank you for being on with us, Gene.
Thanks, I'm looking forward to listening to this when it comes out.
Gene.
Bop, 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 bop. Me.
Yay! Wasn't that fun?
There you go. There you have it.
I don't know how to bring us back in. Yay! You guys talked about stuff. And some of these I haven't heard in like 7 weeks, so I don't remember what we talked about, so it'll be fun to hear it again.
All kinds of stuff with all kinds of people.
I know you asked a lot about Orville and Star Trek. I remember that, because I just kind of sat there.
There were some streams crossed, yes.
Yeah, and then I'm
still enjoying the Orville. I watched an episode of it last night that was fantastic. Episode 12 was fantastic.
Yeah,
so well written.
Yeah. I have not watched the Orville, though. I did finish season one of Gamer Thrones. Oh my god, that sounds like a terrible reality television.
No, that sounds like a marketing idea, Hope. We make, you know how they make those gamer chairs?
I was about to say
we
the
just
same
make
thing.
Them, sounds, but we call them Gamer Thrones.
It sounds like one of those like home network, those like DIY shows where they make like custom made game chairs.
They'll just be those vinyl gamer chairs, but it'll have the Iron Throne, you know, like illustrated on it. Because gamers won't want to buy a real Iron Throne. Some will. Maybe we'll make some for the real rich, famous gamers. But there you go. We got the copyright to it. Nobody else can do it. Gamer Thrones.
Ever again.
Or how about this? We make toilets that have speakers on them. And a monitor, and you can, and when you go to play your, and a joystick, so when you have to go do your thing, you don't have to stop gaming. You can just pause your game, hit the button, it transfers over into the bathroom, you sit on your toilet, on your gamer throne, and continue gaming. Doing double duty.
Sounds like our next scheme when we get that time machine up. Oh,
Jesus, I'm already tangenting us on our outro. What's wrong with me?
Well, any last words before we start the next 100 episodes?
No, we'll see episode 200 with another episode 200. Will probably be 14 hours long because we'll have amassed way more people leaving comments and iTunes reviews.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me where you've always found me, in my little cave called twotruefreaks.com. It's not a little cave, actually. It's a huge cavern stuffed with podcasts that I alternately jump around in like Scrooge McDuck and curl up and sleep on top of like Smog. And it's just full of Star Wars, Star Trek, comic books, random tangenters, and all that stuff. And Gene, the podcasting machine, even does a podcast.
Gene!
And all he talks about on it is Thor. It's called The Hammer Strikes, and it's all Thor all the time. Never just anything that Gene wants to talk about, just Thor.
Do you know if he's done any of the Jane Foster run?
I don't know. You would have to ask Gene. We'll find out in the comments.
Yeah, Gene, I would like to know that because I really enjoyed a lot of that run. I'm very behind in it. I have not read Thor for about a year, mostly just because I haven't got around to it. But, yeah, and I also would love
to. He's sitting grinding his teeth going, it's not a Thor podcast.
But I would also love that. And if you ever wanted to talk about Vote Loki, which was a little miniseries that came out last year, dear God, I absolutely loved that comic. It was really fun, too, because they were running.
Well, we just had Gene on our podcast, so
yeah.
I guess maybe you would have to have Hope on your podcast to talk about Loki, since it is a Thor podcast.
But yeah, I absolutely just, yeah, Loki's my boo. I haven't read it in forever also, but there's one called The Trials of Loki, and I think it was a 4-issue miniseries, but it's the story of Thor from Loki's point of view. Oh man, that was such a great...
That's gotta be fun.
Yeah, I would also love Loki, Agent of Asgard. I really, really, really love that one too.
So get on that, Gene. And we got a Facebook page called Two True Freaks at Facebook, and we got the Two True Freaks at Cantina on Facebook also, where we go to just talk about stuff. And we've got a Twitter with, of course, Gene, the podcasting machine.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Gene.
I like that we both change it to the ba-da-ba instead of the doo-doo-doos.
Yeah, sometimes we just hit it right, and he runs our Twitter feed, which is Two True Freaks at Twitter, you know. So, yeah, where can they find yous?
You can find me at Jagas and Jedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. Actually, somebody left us feedback. It's really short. I'm gonna read it really fast. So, I don't know what episode he was on. It had to probably be Nomad Droids or maybe Mercy Mission.
Wow.
But it's John M. Wilson, our friend John. And the reason I say that is because the content of these reviews of what he left us is about droids. So I was like, that's the only thing recently that we've done with droids. But he wrote... In the episode, Hope doesn't like the spelling of the droid names, and this was when I was talking about when they spell C-3PO S-E-E-3, and that annoys me. And he wrote, Hope doesn't like the spelling of the droid names. Just to throw it out there, doesn't have to mean anything, but the practice was a George Lucas thing in the script. It showed up in the novels and comics. Lucas expected audience to have a hard time accepting his robots as people-like, so the spelling was part of the efforts to convey humanization. That way the droids have names and not just serial numbers. Anyway, doesn't have to change your mind, but there it is if you didn't know. I did know that at one point, still annoys me. And I'm not alone, because it annoys my coworker too, because we both had that conversation. But it's a cool thing to know, so thank you, John.
Works
so, yeah.
For me, but you're one of those people that's creeped out by AI anyway, so...
Yeah, I don't want them to be people like, you know, like BB-8 is cute and K2SO is funny. Like, they're okay. And then that's, but, and R2-D2 is the hero of Star Wars, but C-3PO, no. No. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Jenkins and Jedi. You can also find me on Twitter at Hope Molinex. And I'm also the news writer for What the Fangirl. And I'm looking to get back into the swing of things. I have a couple things saved up that, since I plan to stay offline tomorrow because Last Jedi is tomorrow, I plan on writing some stuff tomorrow for What the Fangirl. So here we go. Well, next time we record, we're gonna be able to see Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized next time we
this is our last recording pre Last Jedi.
Do we want to do a little episode about it and then do Rogue One, or do it before Rogue One? I'd rather have it its own episode.
I'd rather have it its own episode. I know Scott Gardner's gonna want to get first crack at it, so
yeah.
Let me and him have our crack at it. I definitely think we should do a whole episode on it. I just don't see how even before that episode comes out, we won't be talking about it in the show, you know.
I have a feeling we don't plan to record next week. I have a feeling we're going to find time to record.
We might find time, yeah.
Pretty sure we will, Chris. But yeah, we're not planning on recording next week, so there still might possibly be another week before we do Rogue One. I will do Rogue One. I've been waiting for it.
It'll happen.
So yeah. Well, if I can say, guys, thank you so much for sticking with us for 100 episodes. Thank you for having our back and for
why we made it this far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thank you for sticking with our dick jokes and our dirty Yoda. And thank you for enjoying it. We love talking with you guys. We love seeing your comments on Facebook. We love it, you guys, and we love you. And so thank you so much for 100 episodes. And here's to 100 more. In bed!
Clink.
Oh, for half a second, it sounded like you were popping champagne until you went the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's supposed to be the champagne pouring.
Oh!
Come on, everybody, count with me. Put your hands up and count to the beat. Come on, everybody, count with me. 1 to 100 is where we gotta make it. Come on, everybody, count with me. Put your hands up and count to the beat. Come on, everybody, count with me. 1 to 100 is where we gotta make it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Just follow DJ Double D. He's the coolest MC, he's the coolest. Just follow DJ Double D. 1 to 100 is where we gotta make it. Just follow DJ Double D. He's the coolest MC, he's the coolest. Just follow DJ Double D. 1 to 100 is where we gotta make it. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and now we're at 40. 41, 42, 43, 44. 45, 46, 47,
if you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.